Welcome to the Round 3 Supercoach Coach Podcast. My name's Marcus, and this week we're joined, as per usual, by FB Donkey.
G'day, everyone.
And we've got special guest, Dunny, to join us again this week.
G'day, everyone.
Welcome back, mate. It's the first time you're back on since lockout, so we get to find out about how your team's doing and what exactly your team looks like. So why don't you start us off with how you lined up and how you're going?
Well, I'm not going very well. I think most of the bad luck that everyone's had so far, I think I've suffered most of it, although I have managed to dodge the Bartel bullet this week. My team has got a few guys in it who are underperforming a touch, like JPK didn't do too well last week, and I've got Mitch Clark and Mitch Honeychurch on the field up forward, just lacking a bit of depth there. But I did manage to scrape together 1953 last week, so not the best of scores.
I think, unfortunately, Dunny, that puts you third this week. But
it's, yeah,
it's not like I did much better, to be honest, mate. 1995 was my score this week. Painful weekend, and to be honest, a little bit sour at myself. I slept in for the lockout on Sunday because I had a big night. Stupid boy. And so
I did try and wake you up, man.
Yeah, you did. Got a text from Mark. Goods is the sub again. Put him on your bench. No, I was a silly boy, and Clancy Pierce sat on my bench. And it's the first time he scored above bloody 50s. 72, and I miss out. Oh, painful. And then Brett Goods, Mark. I got excited because what happens? Dale Morris gets injured. Mitch Wallace gets injured. He came on 5 minutes.
You messaged me. You were very excited when you messaged me that he was on early.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was like, all right, this is great. I even sent you a sarcastic message when he was doing shit because he was still on target to at least average like 40s, 50s, which is what Pierce would get anyway. Nah. Goodsy in 2.5 quarters, or basically 3 full quarters, does nothing. Scores nothing. Ah, drops in value this week. And I got Pierce just killing it with a 72 PB for the season on the bench. Ah. And last week, I put Selwood as the captain ahead of Fife. And
this week, you reversed it?
Oh, bloody reversed it. Jesus Christ. Selwood, 154. So, oh, it's so painful. I'm over this week. Keen to get trading, and Bartel going down with a 5, boys. That hurt. Dunny, you missed out on him, right?
I missed out on him, and I don't have Brett Goods, which is something else I was really happy about. But I think as we had a bit of a chat about earlier between the three of us before we came on air, I think you're right, Marcus. This year there's been a lot of luck involved, and it's just been quite difficult.
Oh, so difficult. So difficult. But, you know, there's a lot of people killing it as well. There's a lot of people beating me. I'm only at 33,000, so 32,000 better coaches at round 3. Mark, you're one of them, and you beat me this week by five points, right?
I did, mate. Scored exactly 2,000 this week, and look, I've got to say I came out of the weekend feeling pretty depressed about that. Dropped from 13,000 to 22,000, but after talking and hearing to you guys, I'm pretty excited and I've got a smile on my face. Looks like I'm beating you guys in the rankings, and that's 2 out of 3 so far for the weekly score, Marcus. So yep, I'm pretty happy with 2,000. Just shouted about Bartel mainly. I mean, look, that's the difference between holding my ranking and going down. Everything else sort of went okay. It was mainly just the Bartel 5 that really screwed me. So brought in Robbie Gray last week, and he was on about 41 at 3/4 time. So I missed his good scores and got his 73, and felt a bit ripped off, really, because watching that game, he just completely won-port the game. And I know that they've changed the scoring a little bit to de-emphasize the end of the game, but that seemed to be a little bit ripped off for Robbie Gray, because, like I said, he won them the game. So I would have expected a bit more of a score. But look, good to see Cripps score 89, and it's good to see Swanee back, 150. I know people had their doubts pre-season, but yeah, I'm upbeat after talking to you guys.
Yeah, and I hope you boys weren't some of the ones who traded out Dusty Martin after his poor first game, because he's certainly come good in the last couple, that's for sure.
No. Our first show was very much just emphasizing to calm the F down. Yeah. So, no, we avoided that, fortunately. But, you know, really feel for some owners. I mean, imagine going to Rockcliffe to Wines. Wines is out, which we'll cover this show, with a wrist injury for at least a month. So, geez, there's been some pain out there. And, you know, we'll start off this week's show with a question, but more of a comment from Hans Schumacher on Facebook. And it got 20 likes and gave us plenty of laughs. So, why did the Supercoach gods continue to penetrate penetrate my team without using any form of lubrication. Hashtag bring back Gaz. Definitely agree with that, mate. And having stuffed my captaincy out the last few weeks, definitely missing Gaz too. But, you know, as we do each week, guys, I like to keep a positive spin on things because I definitely don't think my team looks like a 33k ranked team. And even things like Bartel, the silver lining for me is I've got Gray in my midfield, so I get a midfielder for him. So we'll try and keep a positive spin on things, guys, and move forward with the best options for anyone who's got injuries. We've got questions again from social media, so thank you guys for your questions at Supercoach Coach on Twitter and to our Facebook page at facebook.com/supercoachcoach. A huge response again this week, so thank you very much. Get straight into the injury and suspension questions, boys. First is from Iliopolis Jacob on Twitter, and he's talking about trading out Yaren. So his first two options that he's listed are Smith and Hodge, and clearly they're the highest two scoring defenders in the back line this year. Either you boys like those two options as a first pick, or would you go something cheap? Cheaper.
I'm surprised that isn't hashtag bring back the biff with Yaren. Walking Chappie in the face. I'm a big fan of Yaren, so I won't go too hard on him there. Smith versus Hodge. Gee, that's a tricky one. I think that we sort of had doubts on Smith in the preseason because we thought that he'd get a bit more attention. But with Smith, Sloan and Danger in great form and looking quite strong, it's going to be hard to tag all three of them every week. So I wonder whether Smith does get under people's radars for a little while. And even after coming back from concussion, posted a pretty good score on the weekend. And then again, Hodgie had 44 touches, 177 points, really winding back the clock there. I think that we didn't pick Hodgie because of his injury concerns. I think he's got a higher ceiling than Smith, but I'd probably lean towards Smith personally just because he seems more likely to play the 22 games.
I was really surprised to see Smith play against Melbourne. I actually thought they wouldn't have played him with that concussion he had the week before. And, you know, the 87 points, probably a bit also a reflection of just how wet it was here on Saturday last week. It was ridiculously wet. Something we don't see a great deal in footy these days. But I think Luke Hodge is actually someone I'm looking to try and target to get in with some of my upgrades. I might have to wait for this 177 to cycle out of his prices, though. But I agree with you, Michael. I think with Brody Smith, there's a couple of other guys, you know, Dangerfield and Sloan, who are going to get that attention first. Dangerfield certainly got a lot of it, which really annoyed me since I brought him in. So I'd probably be going Smith at this stage.
Yeah, I've got Smith, boys. I traded him in last week. And like you said, that 87 certainly comes in conditions that doesn't suit him. He had the second most meters gained last year. And obviously that game goes completely out of the window in the wet because you're just trying to move it up bit by bit. And it's hard to get it to the outside person when it's slipping and sliding everywhere. So he's definitely my pick. And I'm just so sad about missing Hodge because I was really keen on him. And I even said that I think he can average 105, but his injury risk might not be worth it if he doesn't hamstring for four. Even an increase in average wouldn't be worth it, but 177 makes him an instant win. Even if he gets injured, far out.
How unlucky are we, Marcus? I really feel really unlucky on this because we argued very strongly for Hodgie last year. We brought him in against everyone saying, no, he's a massive injury risk. And then round two, he scored 22, missed a week, came back really, really slowly from the injury. And then this year, that seemed even more obvious that he was an injury risk, and he comes out with a 177. So I'm feeling a bit ripped off there by the Supercoach gods.
I've said this on the forum, but like we couldn't have picked him. Imagine if we picked him and he went and got injured again in the third week. And we picked him 2 years in a row doing that. We looked like the biggest fools. So, I just didn't have the guts. Anyway, Smith for mine as well. Anybody else you guys like there? I'm looking at potentially Hibbard this week, and I was wondering if I could get your opinions on him, guys.
Yeah, as a Bombers fan, I'm just wondering that maybe the points are being stolen from some of the other backline players at the moment, with Hurley and Hooker going along quite nicely. I think he'll progress pretty well over the course of the year and get into it and score quite well. I think I'd have Rance ahead of Hibbard, though.
On to the next question now, and we're moving out of the backline into the midfield onto another injured player, unfortunately. And this question's from Dan Greg Mantle. He's got Ollie Wines out for at least a month, so you got to trade the guy. And he was on track for another big score this week, and he would have been averaging 115 plus, but unfortunately got injured.
Really sad.
Terrible news. And Supercoach Carnage really coming hard and fast. The game is really brutal, obviously. Now, what do you guys reckon is the best option? Sloan at 640 is the standout, obviously, averaging 140.
It's going to come down to how much cash you've got sitting in your bank, obviously, but if I had limitless funds at the moment, I'd obviously be looking at guys like Sloan, Fife, probably even Joel Selwood. He's dropped a bit in price this week.
Be interesting to hear your thoughts on Sloan versus Selwood.
Look, to be honest, at the moment, if I had to pick between the two, I'd probably actually go Sloan. The Crows have got an incredibly good run between now and the bye. They only play, off the top of my head, I think two teams who finished in the top eight last year between now and then. So I expect to see him putting up, you know, 120s, 130s from here to there. I must admit I'm not as up with Geelong's schedule, but that 154 from Selwood on the weekend certainly shows that he's still got it in him. And he has dropped in price 23,000 after his first price adjustment. So fallen premium, who knows?
I don't actually have that type of cash. I'm probably capped at about the 600K mark. So I'm looking more at the Lewis, Watson and Heppel. They're actually the three that really are lighting up for me.
So obviously, big fan of Geordie Lewis. Ran free on the weekend after the Doggies Taggers got injured pretty early. 41 touches, butchered it around everywhere and only got 107. But I think that just shows that Lewis has that really high possession count capability. And I think Hodgie going so good on the weekend probably advantages Lewis a little bit, because teams are going to have to put some work into Hodge, into Mitchell, and think that Lewis is going to keep racking them up. But I think teams would see Hodge and Mitchell as more dangerous players that probably require a bit more attention.
Actually, I'll be really intrigued on Saturday night to see who Ken Hinckley sends Kane Corns to. Up until last round, I expected it to be Lewis, but as you say now, I think he might be sending him to Hodge. Yeah, you just don't know which one it's going to be at the moment.
Why would you send it to a guy who gets it 41 times and kicks clangers 7 out of the 41, right?
Yeah, the 107 from his 41 touches is certainly a concern.
But good for Supercoach in terms of skipping out on the tag. That's how Swanee got away with it for a while when Pendles was stealing the tag from him, because Swan wasn't dangerous enough for some coaches.
And I think that Mitchell's kicking skills, despite his age, would still be drawing more attention than Lewis.
I actually brought in one of those guys you spoke about last week. I brought in Heppel last weekend and he scored 105. He's averaging just a touch under 110 at the moment. I think he's, you know, a good value pick at the moment. He did drop 4,000, but I think that was based more on his week one score in the wet against Sydney. Sitting at 567, yeah, you can save yourself a bit of cash there.
I looked at Sloan and how many games it took for him to break out, and Heppel actually has played more games at this point in his career as compared to Sloan when he had his breakout season. You know, Heppel's right on that same cusp, played enough games, 70-something. Watson had a 147 game, dominated, so maybe Heppel won't be stealing all the tag. So Heppel might step up like Sloan did last year and just nudge that 115. I like that pick, Donny. I just can't make up my mind between the three. I think Watson's had a 120 average season before. They're all three really good options, I think. If I had to force you guys to choose between the three, Mark, Lewis, I'm assuming?
Lewis for me, and look, I'd have Jove in second, even though he's an injury risk.
Donny?
I'd probably go Lewis first. I already had him, so yeah, then I took Heppel.
And I think those five options that we've talked about in the midfield, they're right up there. Do we need to talk about anyone else, you reckon?
Well, the only other ones you'd probably look at, just given the dollar value, maybe Dan Hannabury, sitting on 120 average at the moment, scored 136 on the weekend. And the only other one last week I was tossing up between Mundy and Heppel, and I ended up going Heppel. But, you know, Mundy's sitting on 123 average, 102 on the weekend as well. And he's only in 2.6% of teams, so he could be a nice little point of difference for
you. He's just never managed to go to that next level, Mundy. He has for very short periods, but never even over the course of half a season has he really, really kept it going.
He's getting more of the pie at the moment because Barlow seems to be the one who's missing out. Barlow's had a 75 and a 66, so it appears that Mundy's getting a bit more. So I think we've covered the midfield options pretty well there, guys. The last thing I want to question before we move on is a question from Mark LeCastro, and he's asked about whether or not having Ellis, Yeoman, Van Berlo and Dangerfield makes you worried about bringing Sloan in, because they're all round 11 buy players in the midfield. I think this year we've got so much rookie value, and I'm not sure if the spread of points not going to, you know, all the game-winning moments means that across the board, maybe more of the average players are getting a bit more points for their disposal as well. But we've got heaps of cash cows. I really don't see many teams not finishing before the bye as long as they're efficient and haven't been hit by too many injuries. And I certainly think that most people will clear their midfield. Ellis Yeoman and Van Berlo, they're not going to be there in round 11, I don't think. Like, they're going to peak in value way before then. So I wouldn't worry about it, to be honest, guys. And I'd be happy to bring Sloan in and not worry too much. The next question is from Damien Walsh, and it's about Wallace. He's out with a back injury, guys. Do you know what the prognosis is?
There was talk that it might be up to a month, at least a few weeks. I think that with Wallace, he's the sort of player that you're looking to bring him in and he's going to make you some quick money, and then you're going to quickly upgrade him. And the fact that he's now injured means he's not able to serve that purpose anymore. So, yeah, look, I think I would be probably getting rid of him this week. I know I recommended him last week. Like I said then, I had him in my draft team, so pretty shattered to see him go off so early because he really has made a great start to the year.
I mean, you don't want to deal with that 15 cycling in his price movement when he's supposed to go up in price. So, next question is about Jimmy Bartel, and it's from Curtis Loriente, and a lot of us have him too, Curtis. So, we're all a bit bitter, but, you know, we've got to look for a replacement. The upside is he missed the round two, thankfully, so he hasn't plummeted in price, which is a silver lining. We talked about the midfield options, so if you're going to pivot him there, you've got the options there. If you're going to pivot him all the way to the back line, you have the options there. But the forwards, guys, who do you like there? Bontempelli is obviously a big one on the lips, having missed last week and a chance to come back this week.
If he comes back this week, then yeah, he's certainly a good option. I think he should be heading north in price fairly soon. I think he's had a couple of good games so far. Certainly not a bad pick.
I think a lot of people will be going Bontempelli. Has he gone up to 47% ownership or something crazy?
45.7.
That's insane.
So I guess there's two ways you can look at that and say, well, if everyone's on him and he kicks butt, then you're sort of going to be a long way behind if you don't have him. Or you could say, if he doesn't kick butt and he fails, then you get a huge advantage over the rest of the people. I think I'm probably just leaning towards the second camp at the moment. I was probably a bit of a wrap for potentially bringing him in on last week's show, but after missing with a calf injury and Wallace getting injured, and think that maybe gives him a bit less protection in the midfield for the next few games, and I know that their next couple are a little bit tricky as well for the Bulldogs. So look, I'm probably gone a little bit cold on Bontempelli, but I can definitely see why people would bring him in.
33,000 coaches traded him in last week, despite him. Yeah, that's a bit painful.
That's why you've got to. I know people had to go early, and it's hard to keep a player out based on rumours, but on Friday, the rumours were pretty strong that Bontempelli was going to miss.
Yeah. I think I'm agreeing with you, Mark. I think that even if he ends up being a good pick, there's so many more sure things as good picks in the forward line. I don't need to take a risk on him. I'd definitely think about doing it in a weaker line, but I don't think you need to do it. Like, some of us are thinking about leaving Franklin out this year, and we might not be able to do that because he's already averaging 100 and he hasn't had a blinder yet. And, you know, and if you want to have ruck forward cover in your forward line, I just don't think you need to really stress about bringing him in. If you have an option to get a pure midfield premium, I wouldn't downgrade to Bontempelli. I would just get a good premium midfielder instead. I think he's a good pick. I don't think he should be in 50% of teams. That seems a bit overhyped to me.
I just wonder whether people are looking to use him as a stepping stone, maybe, because he is going to have that huge price increase with his 134 average, you know, based off a 422 price. I just wonder if people are going to look at that, maybe.
I hope nobody's doing that, to be honest, Dunny, because he has a round 11 buy on top of the fact that he's already reasonably expensive to start off with. So you can't even pivot him around the buys. If he was round 12, that makes a lot more sense. But if you're picking him, you have to be picking him as a keeper, I think.
Yeah, I agree. Look, I wouldn't do it as a stepping stone. I think if I take him, I'm going to be keeping him. But I just wonder if that's what some people are thinking. Who knows?
Yeah, definitely could be. With that amount of selections, Dunny, I see a lot of people using that as a reason to bring him in as a safety net. Like, at worst, he's still a stepping stone. Or you don't have to do that because Buddy might drop at one point and you can get him for cheap. Like, that happens regularly. So, and we'll move on to the next question now. More injuries, unfortunately, and two that really sad that we have to cover. Darren Fowler's asked about Jaden McGrath. He's out for 12 weeks now with a stress fracture. It's just terrible news for the young fellow who's just killing it as a small backman. He traded Lamb to McGrath last week, guys.
Damn, that's very unlucky.
Yeah, really feeling for Darren. So for his options this week, what do you guys reckon is the best? There's Cracker, there's Tarrant, some good options that debuted.
Yeah, I'm really interested to hear Dunny's thoughts on Cracker because I'm a huge fan, and I know that he came in for Jarman Impey, and Impey's only out for 3 or 4 weeks, and I know Impey does a pretty good defensive job, but I kind of expect that Cracker will be able to keep his spot and score quite well. I don't know what you think, Dunny.
I think he will keep his spot definitely for the next few weeks. I thought he was a little rusty early on. A couple of his early possessions I was a little nervous about, but following that, I thought he had a really solid second half. Look, there are a few issues down at Port Adelaide at the moment, obviously with Wines out, Impey's out. One of the other guys they would have looked to bring in was Andrew Moore, and he's actually just been rubbed out by the SANFL tribunal tonight for 3 weeks, so there's another option that they're missing. So I think I see Cracker staying in for at least the next 3 or 4 weeks.
So he's going to get longer. A chance to cement a spot.
Yeah, I think he is. And look, I think if he can show the sort of form he showed in the second half against North and apply that pressure, I think he could stay in there for, you know, a good 5 or 6 weeks at least, you know, until Impey starts knocking the door down to get back in.
And another good thing about him, we've been waiting for a mid-forward rookie to show up for some extra flexibility. Lambert was the only one, played a little bit, got injured, and now we've got Cracker. And he's also basement price at 107K. So.
And he's mature age, he's got AFL experience, he's got a decent scoring history behind him.
Yeah,
the dual position status means that you can, like, choose who to play on the ground each week. You can have Hogan or Clark as your forwards come on, or you can bring on your midfield rookies like Heaney or Vandenberg, those sort of players. You've got just so much flexibility as far as your cover goes.
If you don't need to trade this week, you know, if you don't have the issue that I think I'd probably give him another week, just wait and see how he goes this week against Hawthorn, because he's obviously his price isn't going to change till after the week after. So give him that extra week if you don't need to trade him in just yet.
Agree with that, Dunny. Sad for Darren, but, you know, at least, yeah, you've seen at least one game from Nathan's Cracker, so there's a good option there. And bright side is, too, Jaden McGrath ended up, he had the third biggest price rise for the first price movements of the season.
At least he didn't go out with a five.
Yeah, that's right. We'll move on to the next question. It's from Alex Bicknell. Should we contemplate trading out Lamb? Apparently struggling in the reserves. So got some bad news, and that's Lamb's out injured too, guys. Is that true?
Yes, I heard that yesterday as well.
Is that 8 to 12 as well? So it's a long-term one. So yeah. For Alex...
So he's got to go.
Yeah, and we just contemplated options for McGrath, who's also a forward rookie.
So unlucky.
Yeah,
I think that with that one, I wonder what you guys think about, like, Cracker being the obvious trade-in. If you're not needing him on the ground this week, you still just wait a week?
That's right. Lamb's not going to change in price, so, you know, there's no urgency to trade him out. If you don't need him and you've got another solid emergency sitting on your bench, by all means, yeah, wait and see what you can see, unless, you know, there's another rookie that you guys think of that they could bring on instead.
There's definitely a lot of debutants in the forward line. Lucas,
I know
Webb.
You wanted to talk about Tarrant.
Robbie Tarrant. Mark, every time I get excited, you warn me that he's going to fall apart as soon as he enters my team, and that gets me equally nervous. But 107 in the first week, and playing that third tall role in the Kangaroos backline, there's points there for sure.
Just like you said, I'm just worried about his ability to keep his body together, although it does seem that he has managed to do so over the preseason, which I'm not sure we've really seen from him before.
So, yeah, if you had time, you maybe want to wait and see on them. Karnesis also played, but he started with a 17 as a sub, and Kieran Byrne back four, 22.
Really like Kieran Byrne if he could hold his spot.
Had 9 touches in the short time he was on, so that was good. And Lucas Webb as well. So there's plenty of guys, like you guys said, it's sensible to maybe take another week. So we'll move on now. That's all the injury and suspension questions done and dusted. And we'll get to extra questions from social media now. We'll see how much we can get through. The first one is from Brendan McMahon, and he's asking about Nunes, keep or trade. So it was an interesting one because Nunes actually had a huge, huge disposal game, but he couldn't convert it into Supercoach points quite like Lewis, but unlike Lewis, he didn't get 40 touches, so he only ended up with a 70, and he's not cracked 90 points so far this season. What do you guys reckon about him?
I'm a Nunes owner, and I'll be certainly keeping him just at the minute. Yeah, he's not doing what we'd hoped for, but can he turn it around? Mate, I just don't want to burn a trade on him, to be honest. That's the main thing that I'm thinking at the moment.
Seems like wise advice, mate.
And I think throughout the course of the next few rounds, surely there'll be an opportunity where a premium will drop drastically in price due to injury or something. You can snap him up, or definitely agree with you. You might as well wait for a more opportune time, and in the meantime, hope that he comes around.
I mean, just a quick one for you guys. What do you see as being an average that we should be looking at for our backman? Because I think, you know, the days of the big scoring backman when we had guys like Goddard and Gibbs and Heppel in our backline are obviously gone. You know, what are you accepting?
Something we debated pretty heavily in the preseason, didn't we?
Yeah.
It seems like you'd want about an 85 average from your rookies this year with Oxley and Saab and McIntosh doing so well. But I think that we probably said that maybe 90 would be okay, and you might be able to carry one or two of the 85 guys into the season, although I think Marcus was probably a bit stronger on that number being a little bit higher.
Yeah, I'm a bit different to Mark in that respect. Yeah, I think only 5 points off, but I would have it, like, I'd be happy to take one 90 player. But apart from that, I want a 95. I've got Smith, Kelly, so far, Hibbard. I'm hoping they can all maybe average 95. That's why I'm bringing them in. If they average 90, then Mark will turn out to be probably a little bit more correct in the sense that 90 is more acceptable as the average premium. But I still, I'm still not looking for 85, guys. I'm still really trying to avoid them if I can.
Yeah.
We'll move on to the next question. It's about Goods. Matthew Donnelly has him. And
damn it.
Sub again. I already bitched about him earlier on in the show. So it's time to go, isn't it, guys?
Yeah, I think two green vests in a row, too many for me, but he just doesn't seem to be in the coach's favour to get that start.
And just the fact that he didn't score when he came on. I know they've got a few injuries, so it'll be interesting to see if he holds his spot this week. From what I saw, he played a pretty defensive role on the weekend, so he probably didn't expect him to score that well, but would have spent a lot of time on the ground given the injuries and their lack of rotation, so would have expected a little bit more from him.
Didn't he come on in the first quarter?
Came on 5 minutes in the second quarter. He scored 28, which means he averaged 10 points per quarter, guys. 10 points.
Not Matthew good. Does ask what the ideal option is as far as moving him on goes. I think that you'd either want to do two things. I think you'd want to try and get some money and upgrade him to a proper premium. So you might do that by, if you've got Bartel, you might bring in someone like Bontempelli or even go a bit lower to Jack Martin or something like that, or even could go all the way to Cracker and then make Goods into an actual premium in defense. The other option, I think, and it's probably the option that I'm maybe looking at taking, and that is to wait a week and I guess hope Whitecross comes good.
Would you not just pull the trigger straight away? Because if Goods plays, his break-even's bloody 98, Goods.
Yeah, that could be a bit tricky.
Yeah, I don't want him to fall in price, guys. I don't want that. Not anymore.
I don't think I'm pulling the trigger to Whitecross after one game.
There's no way I'm not trading him. He's going to somewhere this week.
Something you might want to consider is if you happen to have Saad sitting on your midfield bench, whether you swing him back and bring in another midfield rookie for Goods.
That would be sweet.
Yeah, anyone who has that is definitely 110% the best advice you've heard so far today. Definitely do that. I think I would take Whitecross ahead of Kelly or Andrews. I might take Byrne over him just because he also has some DPP flexibility on top of looking all right for a sub game. But if he's not playing, I'll hold him. But if he's playing, I'm definitely trading him. No way he's a sub three times in a row for me.
I just hate taking Whitecross after one game. Yeah, I think that'd be really tricky.
But he's going to drop 27,000. That's a lot.
I think I'd rather take the 27,000 hit than risk moving someone in off one game.
Okay.
With two green vests, I'm actually expecting to see him dropped this week back to Bulldogs seconds.
If they have enough people to come in, that is, after...
That's the concern,
Morris and Wallace definitely missing. Although Bontempelli will be one of those ins. The next question, Simon Holmes asks, have I missed the boat on Oxley? Thinking of trading Goods for him. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I don't mind that. His break-even's negative 94. So if you don't have him, he's still going to go up a heap. I really don't mind that selection. If you don't want to wait for Whitecross, I don't mind that.
That's a no-brainer for me.
Yep.
Yep, better than taking a rookie after just one game?
Yeah.
I think it is.
He's done a lot of good things to say that he's clearly in Collingwood's best 22 at the moment.
All right, on to the midfield now, guys. And Adrian P. Muldoon's got a question about Griffin. So if you had the headache in Griffin, what would you do?
I think I'd be interested in adding an initial to my name, Adrian P. Muldoon. It sounds kind of official and kind of cool. What to do with Griffin? I think you just have to keep him, don't you?
Yeah, I think so. I don't have him, but if I did, I'd be hanging on to him. I think, you know, he's in a new environment, new team, still finding his feet probably. I think he will improve.
Yep, same logic as Nunes, I think. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't want to burn a trade on a guy that you've brought in who, when you bought him, you thought of him as a keeper. If you're going to keep jumping around like that, you're going to run out of trades pretty quick.
Mm-hmm. Next question is about Dion Prestia. JM Hawkins has asked about him on Twitter. He's not scored below 107 so far, guys. And Dion Prestia is kind of the clearance machine down there. He's an only 2,600 team, so he's an absolute POD if he can pull off a big breakout season.
Yeah, I know that he struggled at first last year when Abbott went out of the team, but then finished off quite well. Averaged really well over the course of last year. Definitely seems like he's a premium midfielder. I think you could do a lot worse than Prestia, especially with Gold Coast draw, and reports are that Ablett shouldn't be too far away. So, yeah, look, I think he's probably a pretty good pick.
Yep, I agree. I still take those five that we mentioned ahead of him, but I think he's a good pick. We'll move on to the next question now, and it's Josh Billingham's question about Daniel Wells. Missed last week's game, 50 and 63. If you haven't traded him out already, I think do it now.
You had him last week, Daniel?
Yep, he turned into Heffel for me last week.
Yep. Next to the Rucks now, Reece Eusden has Marich, Knickknack, Bell Chambers, and wondering whether he should move one of them on. And also want to talk about Rucks, because I know you're thinking about maybe trading a Ruck in this week, Mark, so maybe if we get the Ruck options.
There's something that rings in my ears a little bit from the preseason, and that was you were talking about the Rucks in sort of 2009, 2010, Marcus, when the scoring was a bit lower, and the fact that there was really one standout Ruck in Cox, and then sort of Sanderlands came up, and then it became a bit crowded up the top. And I just wonder whether this year we're back to a bit of a situation like that, where I know Goldstein's no Cox, but whether Goldstein is potentially like a really standout ruck and he might average 10 or 15 more than any other rucks. I don't have too much data to say that, but over the first three rounds, he's averaging 120, whereas all the other rucks seem to have had a down game. He scored 100 in the belting against the Crows, and it was against Jacobs as well. So it seems like a pretty good example that he's going to do all right regardless.
Jacob scored 60 or 70, so
yeah, and just his durability factor added in as well. It's just got me tempted that maybe Bartel to Goldstein is actually the best play this week, because Goldstein might have that edge over his fellow ruckman, whereas if I'm trading to a midfielder, they're all sort of a bit of a muchness, so there might not be that much difference there. So yeah, look, that's got me tempted this week. I'm also tempted to trade for a backline player if I could, but yeah, that's where I'm at.
Well, I was only 5 points behind you this week, Mark, despite missing lockout. I think part of that factor is having Goldstein there. I'm a big Goldstein fan, and like you said, I sort of thought that this would be the case this year. So obviously, having seen the scores pan out, it's confirmation bias for me. I understand people being more tentative, so I really like that move, obviously. And therefore, if I was in Reese's situation with Marich and Knickknack, I'd probably be looking to trade one of them to Goldstein. But what did you think about that?
Look, I agree with that. I think that I've been a Goldstein owner for the last few years, and the only thing that stopped me this year really was his price and trying to squeeze in a few dollars elsewhere in my other lines. I think he's an excellent pick, and I'll certainly be doing everything I can to get him in. In the situation that Reece has got there, look, I'd probably be trading out Marich to him purely because he's a little bit closer in dollars than the other guys, more than anything else.
It's a really tough call. I mean, I feel a little bit reluctant just because we've seen this cycle too many times where you trade a ruckman that's fit once and it just ends up burning you so bad, because then the new ruckman gets injured or it doesn't work out quite as you expected, and you can just end up in this really vicious circle. So look, I'm pretty hesitant to make that move that you're suggesting, but yeah.
I certainly agree with you there, Mark. I mean, I guess if he's dead set that that's what he wants to do, is to trade one of those ruckmen, then Goldstein is clearly the guy that I'd be trying to get to. But look, I agree. I don't tend to change my ruckman unless I have to.
Okay. So I guess, yeah, to answer your question, Reese, Mark, Dunny, you'd probably actually hold on to Marich Knickknack then.
Yeah, I would.
Okay, cool. Like I said, I'm going to be gung-ho about Goldstein and assume that he's going to be the standout. So I'm going to recommend that and stick my neck out there. I hope it doesn't burn me, but that'd be my call. Move on to the forward line now, guys. Steve Carter's asking about Buddy. Will he be a top six forward for this year? And I think this is pretty relevant now that we're looking at upgrades. We dismissed him because there's a heap of mid-forward options, but if he's a top six forward, surely you've got to bring him in at some point.
I'm not 100% sure that we dismissed him just because there's a heap of mid-forward options. I know that there is, but I think Buddy just missing a game here or there, it seems like around six or seven, he's going to miss a week. Like, he just seems to do it every single year. So that has me quite concerned. That's why I was probably a little bit more reluctant to pick him this year. But will he be a top six forward as regards to average? Yeah, I think that's probably a really, really good chance that he will.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think he's certainly going to be right up there. I wouldn't be bringing him in just at the moment, though. He's got a break even of 106, which is too high than his best score this year so far. And I think they're playing Fremantle this week, if I'm not mistaken. So
yep, that's right. And then they've got the Doggies, Melbourne, Geelong, Hawthorn, Carlton, Suns. So not a terrible draw.
No, not terrible. But I mean, if I was going to bring him in, I might wait until after this Fremantle game, because I believe that's in Perth as well.
Good point, Donnie, because with the key position forwards, it literally is about dodging those poor games. I think I'd be waiting for an opportune time when Franklin hopefully just had an injury or something, or a poor game is a little bit cheaper. But yeah, I'd agree, top six average by the end of the year. And at some point, if he's an option, bring him in.
We saw Tippett on the weekend. Tippett's looked really good earlier in the year, and he posted a 37 on the weekend. So it's not completely out of the question that Buddy could do something like that as well.
Well, that wraps up this week's show, guys. We've covered a fair few injury players, unfortunately, and hopefully talked about enough of the ins. I think we covered every line in terms of our favourite trade-in targets, so hopefully you're all set, guys.
I didn't expect to be discussing so many trades after round three. Sort of, that was a post-round two thing. Pretty disappointed to have to make at least one trade this week with the Bartel goods dilemma. It might end up being two. I'd be pretty shattered to be four trades down after 4 weeks. But look, I remember feeling on Sunday night, it was just one of those weeks where I just thought, I just can't wait for next Friday night. I just want to get next round started and just have a better week. And hopefully we're a bit more upbeat next week on the podcast.
Yeah, thanks very much for coming on the show, Dunny. It's been great to have you on. And you had a heap of questions to answer this week, which was surprising.
I did, yeah. Now, look, thanks for having me on, guys. Look, just one thing that your listeners may have noticed hitting their Supercoach screens this week, a new notes feature that's been brought in by Supercoach, where you might see a little green tag next to one of your players, and if you click on that, you'll obviously you can see all their stats, etc. But there's also going to be weekly notes put up by Virtual Sports.
Yeah, I noticed that today when I logged in. Adam Oxley today has already got a little note, and Dunny's actually being a little bit modest here because Dunny's writing them, guys. It's Dunny. It's awesome. But don't blame him if it goes wrong, but it's awesome. So get on that, and yeah, cool work, mate. It's cool to see your work.
Thanks, guys. Yeah, look, it's something new that's been brought in this year, so hopefully everyone likes it. I guess it's something that players of US fantasy sports have seen over the years. I know I play NBA through Yahoo and certainly see those little player notes, and they certainly help me out, so hopefully they help all your listeners out as well during the year.
And with that, that wraps up this week's show. So hopefully the injury trades mean bringing in some exciting players and you can focus on the positive, guys. And again, brilliant show. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Donnie. And we'll have you on as a regular throughout the season so you can keep us updated on your team. So we'll look forward to having you on again soon.
Thanks, mate. And hopefully my team's doing a little bit better than it is at the moment when I see you next.
Yeah. And with that, we'll wrap it up. See you, guys.
See you, guys.
See you later. Bye.
Awesome.